Hello, and welcome to the School of Serenity. We are being broadcast on 4MTV. 4MTV is an initiative of North America to spread mindfulness around mental health awareness. The 4M stand for mental health, migration, multiculture and language, and mindfulness. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Kara Keem. I am an author, and I've written my book, Discovering My Wings, which discusses how my life transformed once I tapped into the voice of my intuition and started following that voice fearlessly. I am also a psychotherapist and a Reiki master, and I have a private practice blending energy work and psychotherapy, really working with women to help them step into the most embodied version of themselves. I'm so excited for our show today. We are going to be talking about blending ancient traditions with modern science and able to help individuals heal. And we have with us today, Margaret and Eddie. So welcome. Thank you for being here. And they have such extensive, amazing credentials. I'm just going to read those. Eddie LaShore is a certified yoga instructor, a meditation teacher, a certified alcohol and drug counselor, a certified peer support specialist, and a breathwork facilitator. And Margaret Kirshner is a certified trauma-sensitive yoga therapist, a certified drug and alcohol counselor, a peer support specialist, a breathwork facilitator, and a birth doula. And she happened to be my birth doula when I was giving birth to Fair, my daughter. So they are very special to me, both of these individuals. And together, they own and operate a Mindful Emergence, which assists people in psychedelic preparation and integration support, resiliency recovery self-care, and integration of spiritual transformation experiences. So you all are doing such important work in the world. Thank you so much for being here. I'd love to start off with asking you all to share with the audience about how you use ancient tradition and modern science in your work.
All right. Thank you, Kara. It's so nice to be here, too. Well, ancient traditions involve really turning inward to notice what our inner experience is, to connect with ourselves with curiosity, and to become aware of our bodies in ways that are calm and connected and compassionate, giving ourselves attention. This body holds so much wisdom. It's not all in our heads, it's in our bodies as well. And so science is now revealing to us that movements and breathing practices that are slow and simple and done many times throughout the day can actually create new neural pathways in our brain, affecting our entire nervous system. So really, that's what we offer. We offer mindfulness, movement, and breathing practices so that we can transform in every way, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally.
Yeah, an example of how we blend ancient tradition and modern science is the example of meditation. Mm-hmm. So we both guide people with meditation practices, but the type of meditation that we offer is not what some people might think of, which is to sort of try to create a different experience to get somewhere else. There's a kind of a myth, for example, with meditation, that we're supposed to stop thinking, that we're supposed to empty our mind, and these kinds of things. And obviously, that doesn't feel very accessible. Right. The meditation that I typically offer, and Margaret as well, is somatic mindfulness meditation. Mm. And this is really based on meditation that's been done for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
So if you want to talk about an ancient tradition, there's something called Anapanasati, which is a Sanskrit word that talks about mindfulness of breathing. You know, we just lost Thich Nhat Hanh, this amazing teacher, passed away this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the leading figures in teaching mindfulness of breathing. Well, this goes back and predates the Buddha by thousands of years.
Right.
But the way we teach it is we try to make it as accessible as possible, because people have this idea, well, I got to sit for long periods of time and maybe sit in a lotus position or something like that. And I mean, people can do that. That's fine. But what we suggest is just learning how to bring our attention to our breath.
Yes.
Our body, and notice what's arising and passing.
Right.
So we notice sensations in our body. We notice thoughts that arise. We might notice other sensory experiences, sounds, smells, and things like that. And by learning to do that, we can start developing the ability to focus better. But even more importantly, from my point of view, is we can learn how to let go. So we can notice, oh, wow, I feel these sensations in my chest. That feels like anxiety. Okay, let me just breathe and notice how that can shift and change. And I can also notice the story in my head. Maybe I've got a story in my head like, oh no, you know, this is really bad. And maybe I did something wrong, or, you know, there's something really flawed with me. And we can notice that these thoughts are not necessarily true. In fact, most of the time they're not. And we can learn to let go of these thoughts and return our attention to our breath. Yes. So this is an ancient tradition. And as Margaret alluded to, because these practices are becoming more and more common in the last few decades, they've started doing research and studies.
Yes.
So perhaps, I know, Kara, you're familiar with the fact that they've done fMRIs on people when they started doing these practices. They've noticed in as short a period of time as 3 weeks doing regular meditation practice every day, there's changes in the brain, the part of the brain, the amygdala and the limbic system that activates fight or flight starts to shrink and calm down. The part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, that can think logically, make decisions, starts to expand. New neural pathways start growing. And this is modern science proving that something works that's been done for thousands of years. That's just one example.
Yes, absolutely. And I've actually attended several trainings with you all. And during one of them, you said that they had done brain scans of patients. Was this at Mission Hospital? Do you remember this?
I don't remember the specific example.
So I remember this in one of the trainings. You all heard or found out that they had done brain scans with patients at Mission Hospitals pre-meditating. They'd never meditated a day in their life. They had them on, I believe, an 8-week meditation regimen, and then they rescanned the brains afterwards. And they looked and they saw that they had formed new neural pathways in just 8 weeks in the difference in the scans.
Amazing. Yeah.
And new research is cutting down that time frame. You know, it might have been 8 weeks when the study was done. Now we're noticing that these things happen even more quickly than we first imagined.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So what Eddie is describing is a bottom-up approach. So top-down means that we think about it, we talk to someone about it, it's cognitive, we create new behaviors, and that's all very good. But what trauma research has shown us lately is that therapy that does not involve the body is not effective and sustainable in the long run.
Yes.
So we need to include the body. And when we integrate that into our treatment, it's like the entryway to exploring our emotions and our thoughts and really taking it down into the wisdom of the body, hearing what the body has to say.
Right.
Because the body holds these memories from long, long ago.
Right.
And the people don't have to do long meditations.
Right.
In fact, we encourage people and we offer people to do simple, small steps. So let's go back to meditation. Perhaps our listeners can imagine that they're in a checkout line in a supermarket or any kind of store, and they're on a schedule. Okay, I got to buy this stuff, and then I've got a dentist appointment, and it's at a certain time, and they think, oh, I'm okay, you know, I've got plenty of time. But then they realize that there's a problem with the register. Maybe the receipt thing is broken, or there's some kind of issue, and they got to call the manager over, and all of a sudden they start going, oh no, I'm going to be late. We've got a problem here. So they can just stand there, press their feet into the ground, feel themselves connected with the earth, pause, extend their exhale. The sacred pause, just breathe and go, wow, I'm starting to feel contraction in my body. I'm starting to feel tension. And I'm starting to tell myself a story.
Right? Yes. Yes.
And they can notice their surroundings, breathe, and go, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay.
Right.
And so they can, I meditate all the time and people don't know I'm doing meditation.
Right.
I do yoga and people don't know I'm doing yoga.
Yeah. You just fit in these moments, these snippets. And I love that top down approach, you know, well, the top down approach, but just getting into the body and not being so top heavy. It's the bottom up.
Bottom up and it meets the top down.
The top down. I love the bottom up because that is what is so important, I think, for getting us to relax, to calm down, to soothe the nervous system, to get us back in our resiliency zone. And, you know, you all do work helping people integrate after these psilocybin experiences or psychedelic experiences. And that's a big part of, I think, the top up approach. No, I keep saying it wrong, the bottom up approach, because we can go, we can have these huge experiences where the world's opened up to us and everything, you know, seems profound. But if we don't ground that back in this world and back in this reality, it can get rather dangerous.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So when someone is planning to have an experience, a spiritual experience, a psychedelic experience, we specifically use psilocybin, which is also known as magic mushrooms. We don't offer the medicine or provide it or tell people where to find it, but people are curious and they want to have these experiences in a safe way. So really what we're offering is harm reduction. We're offering the preparation so that people feel safe in doing it. And then we sit with them. And then afterward, there's the big part of it is integration.
And these go over several sessions.
Many sessions.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's so important as you were talking about, I'm going to get it right this time, the bottom up approach. I was thinking about how psychedelics are much more in the top, you know, and in many ways, and integrating the experiences into the body feel really, really important, especially from my experiences and engaging myself for healing purposes.
Yeah, it does really enhance our consciousness, but our consciousness is throughout our entire body.
Right.
So especially with psilocybin, these are mushrooms. They grow in the earth and under the earth. There's a whole mycelial network. And so when people have an experience, it's a very embodied experience. The body receives it, feels it. There are waves of sensations and emotions. And,
and the sensory experience becomes very enhanced.
So it is, it's both actually. It's definitely a bottom up, but it's also a top down. They kind of blend and merge and expand together. And so when we're helping people to prepare for the experience, we want to build trust, first of all.
Right.
And then we work on intention setting and also attention setting. So paying attention to what's happening on the inside. And then the thoughts about that, the stories we say, as Eddie was talking about earlier, we may offer slow, simple body-based movements, just walking through nature and kind of reaching the arms out, feeling your feet on the ground as a way to kind of prepare the body and the mind, and specifically the mindset. Because in these psychedelic journeys, there's something known as set and setting.
Okay. Yes. Tell us about that. I'm not familiar.
Well, the set is the mindset.
Okay.
So, and Margaret's talking about that. Like, what do you want to do with this process, with this ceremony? And we're not talking about necessarily, in fact, we sort of encourage people to stay away from getting too specific. Like, for example, maybe somebody wants to heal a specific relationship with their parent or something like that. So what we might suggest is, rather than getting too specific, maybe you might approach this to say, you know what, I just want to be open to whatever comes to me in this experience. Some people like to look at it as, what is the medicine here to teach me?
Yes. Right?
And sometimes the experience can be a little bit challenging.
Oh, yes.
What happens is, with this medicine, and also, by the way, with integrative breath work, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is that, you know, the ego, which wants everything all figured out and sorted out and controlled, sort of steps aside. There's something called a default mode network in the brain. I know you're familiar with it.
Mm.
And it sort of loosens the grip of how we perceive the world, and it steps aside. Within our psyche, there is emotional material that has a certain charge to it that, and you talk about intuition.
Yes.
It's so key. It's like our psyche, our intuition brings that to the surface and allows us to work with it.
Yes.
And it's not always comfortable.
No.
That's why it's so important to have the right setting.
Right.
Where people feel supported and safe. One of the questions we'll ask people before they do ceremony is, we say something like, if you're having a bit of a challenge, what would you like us to say to you? What would you like to hear? What words would be comforting and supporting? And typically we hear people say things like, well, you're safe, Kara. Everything is okay, Kara. Everything is going to be okay, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And then the setting is such so that if they need to be able to get up and move around, they can do that.
Yeah.
We provide playlists, specifically designed music. Very often they put on eye shades and headphones. We've got everything all set up for them. But maybe they want to take that off and just be able to listen to the music through the speakers and move around. Maybe they need support, like they want us to hold their hand.
Right.
You know, we don't do body work. We're not trained in that.
Right.
But if they say, can you just hold my hand? Yeah.
Mm. Press against something, a wall, you know, pressing against something cool and firm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
We had one gentleman who wanted to go outside, and it was nice weather, and he just went outside. And he said, I'd like a little space right now.
You
kind of stepped aside, observed him. But he actually rolled out a yoga mat in our lawn. And just, this is what he wanted. This is what supported him in moving through the experience in a way that felt good to him.
Yes, yes. And to have that support and to have you all there, I can imagine how helpful and comforting that would be. There's a scene in my book where I'm going through my divorce and I go down to Peru and I live with shamans and I engage in some plant medicine. And, you know, I set my intention, I was going to heal my third chakra and engage in all this self-love. And I just had these grandiose intentions. I couldn't wait to come out just a new person and totally transformed. And I got in there and I was just wretched with anxiety. I mean, it felt just miserable. And the shaman came over to me and he said, well, Kara, you don't get what you want in plant medicine. You get what you need.
Yes. I remember reading that section of your book.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that I've heard that put in an interesting way. It's like asking help from God, however we perceive God.
Yeah.
And then telling him, her, it, how to do their job.
Yes. Yes. Right.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. And so, you know, the shaman, I'll never forget, he came over and he said, go into your heart center. The mind won't serve you now.
Oh, isn't that wise?
Perfect.
And so I did. I spent the day, you know, in my heart center. And at the end of the day, his name was Paul. He came back and he said, how are you doing? I said, I went into my heart center and it's so vibrant and beautiful and lovely in there. And I was just able to really access my heart, my spirit, instead of the monkey mind, because the monkey mind, in my experience, can really take over when you're in a new experience, like a plant medicine journey.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, it's a protective mechanism, tries to keep us safe. And the medicine is really expanding us and enhancing our awareness so that we can feel what's real.
Right.
And what the mind wants to do, and what the mind is good at doing many times, is problem solving.
Right.
We need to solve problems in life. But when we get in this experience and the mind says, well, I got to solve this problem, and then it can't solve the problem, what kind of message is left for us? But, well, there's something wrong with me. I can't solve this problem. This is not about trying to solve a math problem.
Right.
It's a very different kind of experience.
Yes.
And then there's the integration afterwards.
Yes.
Which is the most important part.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can imagine. I the year my brother died, I ended up microdosing for the whole year because that was the only thing that kept me out of the fetal position. And for people who don't know what microdosing is, it's taking a very minor trace amount of psilocybin each day to sort of change perceptual awareness. And after about a year, I just fell apart. And that's what my therapist said. You didn't integrate. Mm-hmm. I tried to go to this hugely spiritual place of, oh, I understand death and life and all the different, you know, reasons that everything happens. But then I was missing the integration part. So mm-hmm. I agree with that. And tell me about that integration work, because I never got it. Yeah. That would have been very helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to speak about it, because it is so important.
Yes.
First of all, when someone ends a ceremony, you know, we advise them and suggest that they take super good care of themselves, radical self-nourishment. Yeah. And then when they come back, we listen actively. We just hear them and we explore their insights, their revelations, their somatic experience. We just go over the whole journey with them. We ask them to journal about their experience too. So it could be one word, could be sentences. We may offer them things like a very restful body scan, otherwise known as yoga nidra, that would help them sleep and integrate. We advise them to pay attention to their dreams and write down as much as they can, because that's the psyche, you know, bringing up more material in a different way.
And let me jump in. Journaling, not everybody likes to write. Some people like to draw.
Yes. Yeah. So
maybe doing mandala work or drawing somehow.
Yeah. But mandala can be just drawing whatever comes up through the psyche. And sometimes there's a circle drawn on a piece of paper and people will just fill in that circle with, you know, images or colors, words, anything that comes through in the journey. Creative expression is very important, because it's really engaging that more expanded consciousness. Also, we encourage people to be in nature in any way that they can, with a river or walking in the woods or looking at the stars or feeling the sunshine on their skin, just being with the trees,
right.
Noticing. There's something called an awe walk, where you take a walk and you look for something that could inspire some awe.
Yeah.
Surprising joy. There's also something called forest bathing. It's just being with the trees in the forest.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And movement.
Of course, movement.
Continuing to do
absolutely.
The movement.
Yes.
And doing a meditation practice, whatever that's like, it doesn't have to be the particular type of meditation that I spoke of earlier, but something that allows them to really spend time with their breath, with their mind, with their body in a contemplative, curious way, being curious what's happening is can be very, very helpful as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I'm just so grateful for the work that you're doing, because I'm a huge, huge proponent of plant medicine. I honest to God believe one day it's going to replace antidepressants.
I really think so too.
They're doing, and the research at Johns Hopkins is just really, really profound. And plant medicine has profoundly transformed and changed my life after major losses and deaths and really challenging times. And so I just think it's such a wonderful resource and tool, And I never had the preparation before and the integration afterwards. And so that's why I'm just so thankful for the work that you're doing, because I think that would have really, really benefited me in all of those circumstances.
And you know what? It is not too late.
Right. Yes.
Integration is a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we can still go back to the experience and integrate.
Yeah.
One of the ways that we can help ourselves at any time in our lives is through breath work. And we have two different kinds of breath work. One is more familiar to people, perhaps. It's pranayama, the kind that you might do in a yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to use the word, because that word might not be so well known, but it's just simple ways to breathe, to bring yourself up from a feeling of low energy and give you a little motivation and stimulation for your day, or to bring your energy down if you feel like you're anxious or hypervigilant or just feeling like you've got too much excess energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're starting to have a panic attack.
Yeah.
You know, I've had that direct experience, because I used to have a lot of panic attacks because of severe past trauma. And
right.
I learned how to use the breath and the body to be able to use the term, come back into self-regulation, the window of tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that just with using the breath.
Right, right. Yes, yes. And I love that you just said, because I've had severe past trauma, because it is a testament that we can go through trauma and we can learn these tools, and it doesn't have to be a life sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
It's resilient skills. We can bounce back. We can rewire our brain. Science tells us that neuroplasticity is a lifelong process, which means that we can change our brain by how we think, how we move, and how we breathe, which are all of our inner resources we all have already.
Right.
So the other type of breath work or breathing practices is integrative breath work. And I know you're going to give us an opportunity to share our website, but a lot of this is explained on our website.
Yeah.
Integrative breath work is something that was created, or this type of breath work we call integrative breath work, was actually created over a half century ago. And I have to give credit to the founders, which was Christina and Stan Groff, G-R-O-F.
Mm-hmm.
They created this back in the 70s when psychedelics were no longer available to use therapeutically. They were made illegal.
Right.
So I'm going to let Margaret explain how the breath work works in a moment, because I think she does a better job than I do. But we do this as one of the steps for preparation for doing ceremony with psilocybin. And it's also very effective as part of the integration process afterwards, because it has a very similar effect in terms of relaxing the grip of the ego and opening up the psyche for material to come forward to work with. Why don't you explain the process?
Okay. All right. Well, integrative breath work is pretty simple and safe and effective because it only uses our own capacity to change our breathing practice. And it helps us to have a psychedelic experience, kind of a mild one. Mm-hmm. So the technique is to lie down and breathe in a particular way that's a little bit faster, a little bit more deep, filling up the lungs, and a little bit more continuous, meaning that there's no pausing in between the inhale and the exhale. And again, the exhale and the inhale. So it's like a circular breath. And there are headphones usually, or music coming through your ears in whatever device you have. It could be earbuds, could be just through speakers, but you're listening to some very specific kinds of music that are chosen to help you to have this, this kind of trajectory. Starting off kind of with a driving beat, because you need to kind of get your breath going really dynamically. And then it kind of comes to a crescendo and a feeling of triumphancy and, you know, a heartfelt
or emotional content.
And then it kind of dips you down into a soft, smooth landing. There is often
an hour long track.
Oh, okay.
Set, I should say.
Wow.
Usually your eyes are covered, and it, you know, it, when I say an hour long, it seems like a long time.
It does.
But it goes by and like it feels like maybe 20 minutes or so because you're in an altered state and you're not breathing in that very dynamic way the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's really just to get you going and get you kind of off of your default mode network and into a more expanded, non-ordinary, dreamlike state of consciousness.
Right.
And there are body sensations like tingling fingers and a feeling of being very, very grounded or maybe very, very light. And there are psychological experiences. You might be seeing images and having memories and hearing words. Yesterday, I was doing a breathwork session personally, and I suddenly started to speak out loud, you know, a phrase, and it was repeated again and again and again, as though my psyche really wanted me to hear it and hear it and hear it. And I was speaking it, and I felt it was very, very important and very profound.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, we've collected comments that people have made afterwards, because typically the way we do this is we'll do it in person with people that we're working with. We're set up here in our home office perfectly for this with they can either lie back in a recliner, or we've got kind of like a futon all set up that's really nice with the head. I got really good headphones, and I had the music engineered by a sound engineer for optimal quality. And we have several of these playlists. So if people do it with us regularly, they don't hear the same one over and over again. So we do, we explain beforehand, like how to breathe and so on, get them set up comfortably. They do the journey, and then we take time afterwards to allow them to share if they want to. So like, for example, one time we did it, and afterwards this woman kind of paused and she was quiet and she goes, "That was incredible." And then some people go on and elaborate with more detail. We also do it online.
Oh, interesting.
It's very effective online. So the way we do that, we do this every month.
Okay.
So for example, the next one is coming up. I don't know how long this video is going to be available for people, but it's live today. The next one is on February 19th, which is a Saturday. We ask people that set aside 2 hours, and we go through the same sequencing. We explain it. They're sent a music file so that we're not streaming the music, which can be problematic in terms of quality. So they actually have the music file that's sent to them. So they play the music, and then afterwards we do the same integration process. It works great, and people have tremendous experiences.
Wow.
And anybody who's listening, you know, if they want to get a hold of us, we can give them the information on how to sign up for it. But we're doing these online every month. And then, of course, people that we work with come to our house. If they've been vaccinated, we follow that protocol. And they can do it in person. But whether they're doing it online or in person, people have these amazing experiences. And it's a really great way to prepare for doing a psychedelic journey, because it has much of the same type of effect.
Wow.
And if especially if they've never done psilocybin before, they do the breath work. And then when they're ready to do the medicine, they're like, oh yeah,
this is how it feels.
This is how it feels.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow. So that allows them to access these deeper levels of their psyche even before a plant medicine journey.
Exactly.
Yes, it does.
Wow, that is just so powerful.
And some people just do breath work and never do the psilocybin, and that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Natural and safe. Yes. Our nervous system is kind of already primed for these experiences. So it can feel like a spiritual experience.
Right.
It can create some deep healing.
Right.
It can help us to see from a new perspective. You know, we have these ideas from our early childhood, you know, and we see the world in a particular way. We have these personality tendencies and these protective parts of ourselves. And what happens with the psychedelic experiences, however it's manifested, whether through breath work or medicines, that loosens that default mode that we all walk around with. It loosens its grip a little bit. And the inner guidance, the intuition, the divine spark, it is revealing
Yes.
What's there? What's real? What's true?
And I should also point out that in many cases, I would say not the majority, but in some cases, we will do this work with individuals, whether it's breath work or whether it's using the medicine. And we'll do it. There'll be a collaboration between us and another mental health provider. So mm-hmm. someone like yourself, who mm-hmm. has, you know, a scope of practice that reaches beyond what we do.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. they may, for example, do the session and then they'll meet with you as a therapist.
Yes.
To do some other work.
Right.
Maybe they started with you and then they said, you know, I really want to do mushrooms, and that's not something you do. And you'll say, well, why don't you talk to these people?
Right.
Or, you know, this kind of thing. And then we do a release of information so that
yes.
we get their information and collaborate.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And yes, I will be sending people your way without a doubt, because mm-hmm. I love the collaborative piece. I think it's very important. And
yeah, people might come to us and we say, you know what? Okay, we'd like to work with you, but there's some deep trauma stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yes.
You know, so maybe we'd like to refer you to someone else and we can collaborate and work together
yes.
for the optimal benefit that you will gain.
Yes. Yes. I love that collaboration. And I do believe that is the wave of the future in therapy. I really do. I think we're going to be collaborating with people for the whole mind, body, spirit, healing and treatment.
Maybe they need body work.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they need to go to
acupuncture.
A massage therapist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Whatever it is.
Yep. I refer my clients to acupuncture all the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. All the time, because there are things that acupuncturists can do that I can't do as far as really moving energy in the body yeah. in a different way than Reiki does.
I think we're in a phase of time where we are more open to cooperation, collaboration,
yes.
less competition, less
Absolutely.
Divisiveness.
Yes.
And the medical model that's conventional does serve people. Like, for example, the medicine, the drugs that are given out,
mm-hmm.
I forget how you refer to them, but psychotropic medication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people need that.
It's true.
But
it's
a lot of people don't.
Yeah, it's true. That's so, the thing. There's a time and a place, and there's absolutely moments where it is very appropriate. But we've gotten into a culture where it's become the norm.
Yeah.
And even the people who don't need it may be recommended. You know, I know after my brother passed away, he's my only sibling, my mom was recommended to go on medication. And it just seemed like the most natural thing in the world that she would be grieving. You know, I mean, she was getting out of bed. She was working out every day. She was still living a functional life, but they just said, you know, to get you through the tragedy. Well, that's actually not what she needed to get through the tragedy. She needed group therapy and individual therapy and a spiritual advisor. And, you know, she's thriving now. I mean, she still experienced a trauma, but she's thriving. And so I think our culture has made it the go-to. You had a trauma, here's what you're going to take. And it's not always necessary, but it definitely, definitely has its time and place yeah. without a doubt.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I love this. I love the work that you're doing, and I'm so passionate about it. And it's just been an honor to have you here. I mean, I could keep going with you all forever because I love the work that you're doing with spiritual emergence and that too. So could you just briefly touch on that for time's sake, the spiritual emergence work, because I find that to be important too.
Yeah, there's two other areas that we work with. One is people having spiritually transformative experiences, which I'm going to let Margaret talk about in a minute. But we also work with people who are in addiction recovery. So we created a program called Resilient Recovery, self-care for relapse prevention, because we worked for years and years and years as certified alcohol and drug counselors with people in treatment centers and aftercare centers. So we designed a 10-session program. And this is really not for people who are deep in addiction. Okay, if someone is you know, drinking heavily or using Xanax heavily or opioids, they need to go for treatment. That's not our, that's not what we do.
Yes.
This is for somebody who's gone to treatment and they've come out, they've done 30 to 60 days. Well, they need additional support. And maybe they're going to 12-step meetings, which are great, but they want to do some bottom-up work. So we have a 10-session program that they can engage in, and we'll work with them to help strengthen their recovery, get and move forward in a way, because it's so dangerous out there now, you know, especially with all this fentanyl on the street. This is a way to stabilize their recovery. Yes. So on our website, that program is explained. And then also the spiritual emergency, Margaret.
Yeah. So there's a spiritual emergence, which is kind of a gradual approach of maturation and coming into our wisdom that there's more to the world than what we think. There's also spiritual emergency where something happens, like, you know, something tragic in your family, or you've had an experience of a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience,
Kundalini,
or some sort of
awakening.
A Kundalini awakening, where there's surging energy, and or something has kind of shocked this nervous system so that you feel like you're in a crisis. Another term for that could be spiritually transformative experience. Maybe you've had a vision of a deity, and, you know, all kinds of energy and psychic abilities are opening up. And, you know, you may not know what to do with all of these experiences, and you might seek out help. And the psychiatrist or therapist or medical provider does not quite know. So you might get medication.
They may think it's a mental health concern, where it's not.
Exactly. It's a diagnosis that might be inaccurate. So there may be a spiritual source of the unsettled sleep and digestion and emotions.
Yes.
And, you know, things are happening that are non-ordinary. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we are both in the process of being trained. We have worked in this field for maybe 7 years or so, but now we're receiving our actual designations. Yeah. And really what people need is a context and a language for what has happened to them. So they can speak to someone about it. There's a verbiage, a language around it. Mm-hmm. So they know they're not going crazy.
And you know this, Carrie. Kara, this kind of what's happening, what we're talking about, this has been dealt with in indigenous communities by shamans for thousands of years.
Absolutely.
People have had these kinds of experiences, and instead of being locked up or given Prozac or whatever, they have allowed this process to blossom and take form, and in a way where it's supported by
the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is so, so important and so validating. And I've talked to a lot of people who do have these psychic gifts and these empaths, and I'm an empath as well. And you're almost afraid because you think something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought I was losing my mind. I went through I went through this crisis.
Yeah.
There's a whole story about it, which we don't have time about, but I thought I was losing my mind.
Yeah. And you were just tuning in and waking up and becoming more.
But I was disoriented. Yes. I was having difficulty functioning.
Yeah.
So sensitive. I couldn't be around people.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was very difficult.
Yes. Yes.
It feels as though parts of you are being dismembered, actually.
Yes.
Falling away.
It is a frightening experience. I have had my own experiences of that. And thank God I had a therapist who spoke my language and told me, this has nothing to do with mental health. This is part of your becoming. This is part of you owning your gifts and tapping into them. And because I literally was concerned, am I bipolar? Something's very wrong.
Sure.
And had I not found myself with a therapist who spoke this language and knew these things, I would have been convinced I was losing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which happens to many, unfortunately.
I know. And that's why the work you are doing is so, so important.
Yeah.
So important. And so how can people find you? I want people to know where you are, how to get in touch with you. I mean, this is such important, transformative healing work.
Mm-hmm. Our website is amindfulemergence.com.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the letter A, mindfulemergence.com. If they go on there, they'll see, first of all, the three different populations that we tend to work with, whether it's recovery, spiritual emergency, or wanting psychedelic integration. Mm-hmm. And then we explain the different modalities, mindfulness, movement, and breathing practices. There's some videos on there. Mm-hmm. And they have an opportunity where they can reach out to us and schedule what we call a discovery session, which is essentially, it's a free consultation. We meet on Zoom and they can explain what their needs are. They can meet us, get a sense of, you know, what we look like and what we sound like, what we're like energetically. Yes. We can explain our program. And if they want to move forward, then we explain how to get involved.
Okay. Very simple. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you so much for sharing about all of these really important ways that you're helping people heal, because this is the wave of the future in therapy. I mean, you're really working outside of the box from, you know, the traditional training. And I'm all about it. I think it's such important stuff.
It's so interesting. So fascinating.
Yes. Every person is different. Yes, we really enjoy the work that we're doing, and we enjoy every person's individual trajectory. So, thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for coming. I wanted people to know about the work and be able to find you all in case they're going through any of these experiences or are seeking this integration and support around the plant medicine.
And by the way, just to add, we have a YouTube channel, A Mindful Emergence. If you go to YouTube, you can find us on there. Right now, I've got about 130 videos covering a lot of this. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, A Mindful Emergence. They can reach us through that as well.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Margaret and Eddie.
Thank you, Kara.
Very grateful.
Bye-bye. Yeah,